It's 22 minutes to 1 o'clock. You are listening to the Midday Report with me, Lester Kivett. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Camelia Dewan. She's a postdoctoral research fellow at the Department of Social Anthropology at the University of Oslo. Earlier, we spoke about why Sweden, whose now discredited so-called Swedish model, has been described as a failure. The country has one of the highest levels of COVID deaths per capita. This compared to its neighboring Norway. And Camelia, I hope you can hear me now, and I hope we have a decent line between the two of us. How are you doing?
Hi, Lester. I'm fine. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
I can hear you much clearly now. Now, we spoke about the two very similar societies, very similar politics, ideologies, ways of life in Sweden and Norway. So why did then Sweden move in a different direction to Norway? How can we explain that major differences in the two approaches? Sweden not going into a lockdown until very late into the pandemic, Norway deciding very early on to have a track and trace mandates, mask mandates, mandates to ensure there is quarantine. Why do we see this divergence in a process, in a public policy process in two countries that have very similar backgrounds?
No, these are excellent questions, and I think I would need an hour to go into detail, but I'll try to keep it short. And one is, it also requires an acknowledgement. Sweden doesn't acknowledge that it has had a different strategy. It's currently the government and the public health authority are now claiming that they've always had the same strategy as the rest of the world, which is clearly a lie, right? Because the mitigation strategy, the one that the UK sought to do to flatten the curve, to have the right measures at the right time, to just have a level of transmission that the hospitals can cope, that has been the Swedish strategy, which is very uncannily similar to the Great Barrington Declaration, which is a fringe and unscientific perspective. And we're more and more finding out how people that have signed the Great Barrington Declaration are quite close to people in these public health authorities and in government. And investigations should be done by journalists, but so far Swedish journalists have not dug into this. And another huge difference, so one is acknowledgement, and there is no such acknowledgement that Sweden has pursued a different strategy, and that Norway and Finland is doing better. They now ascribe to luck and bad luck. Sweden has now simply had bad luck, and Sweden actually hasn't done any lockdown. Anders Tegnell, this hero, he's gotten the status of a hero. He's saying that, you know, face masks can do more harm than good, and that restaurants don't have to close and schools are open still. Some older children, 13 plus, went into distance teaching in December. But other than that, there is no face mask mandate, and healthcare staff only started wearing face masks around Christmas.
You also write on the Corona Times website that it's more than just a failed public policy decision, but also maybe as a result of a somewhat societal Swedish exceptionalism.
I mean, it was startling how in March they discredited East Asia, you know, South Korea, Taiwan. They didn't even want to look to those countries or Singapore that have done quite successfully. And there were these quite Sinophobic portrayals of China and the Chinese state as anti-democratic and so on. So there was no wanting to learn from those experiences. And another thing is, I'm educated in the UK and I read a lot of things in English, but there's also been this thing that you have to listen to Swedish experts and only to Swedish studies. And at some point it became only the Swedish experts at the public health authority when other people and researchers in Sweden were protesting. So there has been a lack of wanting to engage with the international community and others than this circle. And the Prime Minister was asked why he doesn't have his own consultant or scientist advising him on what the public health authorities are telling the government to do. And he replied that in a heated situation, you know, we already have an authority that has all the knowledge we need. It will get confusing to listen to a second opinion and then what, a third, a fourth opinion?
Now, Camilla, has there since been some sort of public backlash at this incorrect advice in Swedish COVID-19 in policy?
The opinion polls are dropping for the government and for the public health authorities, but there's no radical change. It's just like simmering change. And there was a principal or a municipality, a whole municipality, that last weekend forbade face masks for teachers and students. And a lot of people seem to want to forbid face masks, quoting the public health authority that it does more damage than good, which is unscientific and has no evidence. But now a municipality in Malmö is handing out free masks to its teachers. And so I'm hoping something will change, that people protect themselves. But it is very scary how Sweden is basically saying that we don't have to worry about the mutations in Sweden, despite not having any tests at the airports, not having legal quarantines and following it up, or sequencing enough as is required. And only in Stockholm, where I live, 4 cases of the British mutation was found without having any prior travel history. So that is, per definition, a community transmission of the British mutation. But if you listen to the public health authorities, they say that we shouldn't worry about it.
Dr. Camilla Dewan, postdoctoral research fellow at the Department of Social Anthropology at the University of Oslo. Thanks so much for joining us on the Midday Report.